are so grateful for your goodness, for your grace towards us. Hallelujah. Down through the generations, Lord, you have provided yourself for us. Good God Almighty, we're grateful tonight. We come humbly before you, Lord. We come humbly before you to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. Speak, O God. Our ears are open unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. Yes, have your way. Have your way. Bless us. Continue to unite us together, Lord. Continue to bind us together. Continue to smooth us together. Mold us. Make us. Yes. Prune us, God. Shape us. Form us. Ah, hallelujah. Into your image, God. We love you tonight. And we trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm grateful for the word tonight. I'm grateful for the space. Many, many years ago, okay, not that many, but many years ago, there was a cute little girl. And she attended a private school, Catholic school, you know, with the uniforms and everything. And her mother always seemed to give her to school late. Well, this particular day, again, she was late. And the principal was in the entry hallway by the Paul Smith. And as she entered the hallway, she walked up the stairs, looking at the tall, handsome priest. Hey, Father Smith, why are you late? I said, well, my mama, she made me late. We got here as soon as we could. Well, how come? Why didn't your father help you? I said, well, I don't have a father. What do you mean you don't have a father? I don't have a father. Everyone has a father. Get to class. So I got to class. Later on, during my tenure at Holy Angels Catholic School, the largest African-American school, Catholic school in Chicago, I had a friend, a good friend, Angela Trice. We were good friends. And this particular afternoon, her parents were going to pick she and her brother up, but they were also going to pick me up along with my brother. My brother is 3 years younger than me. So we rode with her and her dad, she and her father. And we went somewhere in Hyde Park, did some stuff. But my eye was really on this man. I was a young child, but I knew even then that something was missing. Someone was missing. So tonight I want to just talk a little bit about what many people call an epidemic of fatherlessness.
Yes.
And it is an epidemic. It's an infection almost. Even in the city of Jackson, I was doing a little bit of research. Almost 80% of our school-age children live in fatherless homes for whatever reason. It's a large number. But there are many, many scriptures in the Word, in the Bible, about fatherlessness. As a matter of fact, there are 43 fatherless scriptures, 42 in the Old Testament and only one in the New Testament. Tonight, for your hearing, I want to start off with Psalm 68 and 5. We heard it Sunday. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And the singular New Testament verse comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So fatherlessness, the epidemic of fatherlessness. Well, we know that God is for the family. He created the family. In fact, he characterizes himself as a family. He's the father, and he's also the son. So that's a relationship, right? That there's a connection. God is a familial God, a God of family. And family is so important to him, and it's important to us. We're the body of Christ. We're all brothers and sister Cynthia. You know, we are a family. We are a family. Fatherless children. We all have been fatherless, and this fatherless is the capital F fatherless. That is, without God the Father. Ephesians 2, 12 to 13 says that at that time, we were without Christ. being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, having no hope. So there are children, people who are capital F fatherless, even at this time. And my prayer, my vision is, yes, I do have a vision as associate pastors, that God is sending those capital F fatherless children here to harvest. Our harvest is coming. Our harvest is coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming here. They are fatherless. They're coming here for the Father. But that at that time, you were without Christ, separate from Christ, apart from Christ, making no use of Christ, having no association with Christ, aloof from Christ, without the intervention of Christ. The word says, having no hope and without God in the world. The Greek there is atheos, which the word atheist comes from, which means no knowledge of God, without worship of God, denying God, godless and ungodly, abandoned by the small g gods, abandoned. But we know our capital F Father will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. Although there are capital F fatherless children in the world, God in his grace has made provision for them, just like he made provision for us. John 1:12-13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are adopted. We are God's children. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And this verse just speaks to my heart. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yes. So they are fatherless children. They are enraptured with the spirit of bondage, the spirit of fear. They are without God. They are without Christ. Tonight we're talking about overcoming family challenges. And Pastor said, Sunday, God gets you through it. And he does. There's so many challenges. Absent fathers. Fathers are absent in the home, in the community, in PTA, at church. They're absent. And I was in the chapel a couple of weeks ago, and I had two media guys come. He was a middle-aged guy and another guy. The other guy was a tall, handsome young guy. His name was Josh. They called him Josh 3.0 because he was the third Josh that they had hired. But anyway, the older man was instructing him. And I said, let me just back up. I had seen this middle-aged man before on campus, and for some reason I just paid attention to him. Just watched him. And this particular day, as he instructed this younger man, I said something, I talk a lot sometimes, I said something like, he's training you, he's mentoring you. And I said, you know what? And I believe you're mentoring him in more than just this work. Related issues. I think you're mentoring him for life. And the younger guy said, and you know what? I don't even have a father. I said, you don't. He said, I grew up in a home without a dad. He said, but God has provided men in my life to teach me and to help me along the way. I said, God is so faithful. He's so faithful. He has made provision for all of his children. Overcoming family challenges, God gets you through it. Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. This just reminds me so much, even of my story. And there, I'm talking about three things tonight. I'm talking about my story with my dad, my testimony. I'm talking about fatherless children in general. And I'm talking about the lost. The lost. Reconciliation is here, and it's produced by repentance. It's produced by repentance, produced by repentance. God is so good to us, it can help us to repent. But I want to move on quickly. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses upon them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. This ambassadors for Christ, an ambassador is an official agent. I'm a member of a foreign country, but he or she lives in a host country, but they represent the kingdom that they come from. And so we are ambassadors for Christ. In 2001, when I got saved at St. Paul, the very first thing the Lord did was lay upon my heart to bow on God. I was like, oh, this must be the devil talking to me. This must be the devil. And so I just pondered it in my heart. And one day, my husband was working out of town. I called him. I said, you know, I have this number. And this is the number to my father. I knew he lived in Springfield, Illinois, so I called 1-800, I think it's some number. You can get the number for a person. And so he said, give me the number. You want me to call? I said, yes. And so he called. And he called me right back. And he said, your dad wants to talk to you. I said, he does. Yeah. He said, call him. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know. This is going kind of fast. But I did. I called him. And I heard this old man on the other end. And I think he probably said something like, I never meant for anything, or any of this stuff to happen. And he went on and on and on. But I wasn't in a place to receive all that. I was like, yeah, whatever. Very interesting. The Ministry of Reconciliation. We're charged as ambassadors for Christ. We're charged, even here at Harvest, we're charged to go get them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was in a restroom and my father called me. I put up boundaries. I like to have boundaries. I'm not that great at erecting boundaries. But I made sure that I made some boundaries with my dad, because one day he told me, you can call me more. Oh, hold up now. You tripping, because I found you. You can come and find me. I didn't say that out loud. I said it in my heart. I didn't say it out loud. And I let him know. I said, well, how about this? If you want to talk to me, you call me. And if I want to talk to you, I'll call you. Let's do it like that, because none of that here. None of that. But he called me this particular day, and I could hear a sadness in his voice. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, confirm your love for him. What? Confirm your love for him. And so I did. I said, Dad, you know, I love you. I forgive you for all those years you did, you know, whatever, the list. I didn't say the list out loud, but I had the list in my heart. And so I just remember hearing him be uplifted just by those words, just by obeying the leading of the Holy Spirit. I was, that day, a good ambassador for Christ. Let me move on. Let me move on. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. Hallelujah. We were without God, but we have been reconciled to him. So we are called to be instruments of reconciliation. I'm talking about family challenges. I talked about absent fathers. And I just was this week thinking about a message to mothers. Hagar. Some people say she was the first single mother in the Bible. Yeah, okay, I can agree with that. But we know her story. You know her story? knows her name. She was pushed out, cast out. She was dumped. She was. That was a lot of nerve. She made you go. And it's so interesting. At work today, I had a brief conversation with one of the chaplains, Linda McComb. Her daughter is at UK, University of Kentucky, and she's in an African American literature program, master's program. And this term, they're studying the voices of African American women, and they're starting out with slave women and their voices regarding not owning their bodies as a slave. That was very touching to me. And that just reminds me of this woman. She, you know, she did what her mistress told her to do. She was obedient to her mistress. Okay, so she became, you know, a sister, wife, whatever. But she became a single mother. Even though she became a single mother, God blessed her. God heard her child. He hears the cries of fatherless children, of abandoned children. He hears their cries. Hallelujah. His ear is open unto their cry, and he will avenge them. He said, I'm a father to the fatherless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's our father today. And so just thinking about that, we need to make sure, I do too, I need to make sure when people begin to flood in, to remember that God is their father, to treat them with care and respect, to hear them, to be an ambassador. Ishmael was a wild man, but God had a plan for his life. And at the end of his life, he had 12 sons. He was blessed. He became a great nation. This is the child of a mother who was deserted. God heard him, and God saw her in her despair. In the desert, I could hear her child weeping. He's thirsty. The bottle is empty. She's praying to God, almost without hope. But then the angel comes to her and blesses her and says, God is going to bless your child. And then she sees a well of water, and it just made me think, oh, that's Jesus right there. She saw a well of water. And when she saw him, things changed. New life was imparted. New life was imparted. Let's see. Ishmael will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer La Heroi, something like that. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Berea. And Hagar bore him a son, and Ishmael was his name. But El Roi, I need Sister Logic, but she loves his name. She's so good with these days. These, well, the living ones seeing me. Well, the life of vision. Where after the vision of God, my life is nevertheless preserved. When she saw the well, her life changed. She was preserved. Her son was preserved. It went another way. Hope was instilled. Newness of life came. Seeing God. Seeing God. And when the people come here, they will see God here. Hallelujah. They will see God here. Their lives will be changed. And things will go a higher way, a different way, a different way. God hears the children. He hears the cry of the abandoned children of the fatherless ones. Praise God. Okay, moving along. I thought about mothers again. A bitter mother. So I'm talking about my experience. I'm talking about fatherless children in general. I'm talking about people coming here. I'm talking about the loss. A bitter mother. I'm talking about bitter mothers in our homes, in our churches. Yeah. Children need their fathers, natural mothers. People need to see the Father in us, spiritual mothers. Spiritual mothers, we must be bearers of life. Life givers, life sustainers. A bitter mother causes bitterness and sorrow in her children. She infects them. Natural mothers and spiritual mothers. Bitter. What are you talking about? I'm talking about bitter mothers. Let me just read this one. Exodus 15 and 23 says, when they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. Bitterness kills. Revelation 8:11, the name of the star was bitterness. It made one third of the water bitter, and many people died from drinking the bitter. Well, what does bitterness sound and look like? This is what bitterness sounds like. This is my baby. I work. I took care of my baby. He don't have no rights. My baby. Bitterness uses a child as leverage. Bitterness interjects her own issues into the relationship between the father and the child. Lord, have mercy. It's fearful. It exhibits hatred, anger, and rage. It has improper boundaries. It's selfish. It has no knowledge of God, no knowledge of self, no knowledge of legacy, no knowledge of purpose. I am making this covenant with you so that no one among you, no man, no woman, clan, or tribe will turn away from the Lord our God to worship these gods of other nations, and so that no root among you bears bitter and poisonous fruit, as Deuteronomy 29:18. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many. Woo! Many are defiled. A bitter mother causes bitterness and sorrow in her children. She infects them. Who are you talking about? I'm talking about bitter mothers. Who else talking about? I'm talking about Rebecca and Bobby. Y'all know Rebecca and Genesis. Y'all know Rebecca. You know the story. She did not have any respect for her baby's dad. Y'all wrote that down. Baby's there. She had no respect for him. How could she do that? Oh my goodness. Anyway, she had no understanding of God's order or his power. She had no understanding of legacy. Well, I was dealing with myself too. I was writing this. So she was insolent. God ever called you insolent? No, y'all weren't real good. He called me insolent. I was like, okay. Yeah, okay, Lord, I hear you. Help me, Jesus. Self-will. She was self-will. She was evil-hearted, and she showed partiality. Help us, God. And we can see just in this story of Rebecca and her twin sons, the continuation, the genesis of generational sin almost. Rebecca's actions infected her sons. We're talking about, well, the spirit of lying, she infected her first son. Listen, Genesis 27 and 20, and Isaac said unto his son, how is it that you got this meat so quickly? I just told you out there and give me some game and cook it for you back already. How you do that? A lie, he said. Because the Lord that God brought it to me. Wait. What's going on here? Is he lying or is his mother his God? Ooh. I'm just saying, mothers, I'm talking to myself too. Mothers, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. On this last vacation, the Lord helped me understand that it's a time of transition. So back away from, you know, hovering and order, just, you know, kind of moving to the position to guide. They're kind of older now. They have a history of making, talk about my children, history of making good decisions. So just, you know, step back and just kind of guide them a little bit. So we have to know the seasons. We have to know the times. We have to be like the sons of Issachar. So, generational sin, spirit of lying came in bitterness. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great, he heard his father bless his brother. He was like, Father, wait a minute. Do you have a blessing for me? He cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also. He became bitter. Bitter. Overcome. We're talking about overcoming family challenges. God will get us through it because there is love, hope, and direction. Even so, the bitterness can be in people, children, fatherless ones. But God can use that. God can use that bitterness. He can cause people to cry out for him. They know something's missing. I knew something was missing as a little child. I knew someone was missing as a little child. And I, even though I didn't verbalize my desire to have a dad, I wanted him. I wanted him. Oh, I wanted a dad so bad. Just didn't have one. Just didn't have one. Praise God. Bitterness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. Put it away. Put it away. Put it away. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Visit the fatherless in their affliction. Well, what do their afflictions look like? I'm so glad you asked. What does it look like? It's ugly. It is ugly. But let's just talk about it. Substance abuse. Ten times more likely to abuse chemical substances, fatherless children. 71% of all adolescent substance abusers come from a fatherless home. Drugs and alcohol, poverty. Fatherless families are 44% more likely to raise children living in poverty. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are fatherless. Fatherless children experience more accidents and a higher rate of chronic asthma, headaches, and speech defects. Sexual activity and teen pregnancy. 70% of teen pregnancies happen in fatherless homes. Nine times more likely to be raped or sexually abused in a home without a biological father. Crime. 70% of adolescents in juvenile correction facilities come from fatherless homes, and they are 11 times more likely to have violent behavior. So sometimes you see children as young as 5 years old who exhibit aggression. Used to be mainly boys, but it's girls now. You can see girls just fighting. Oh, my God. So it is an affliction. It is something terrible. 60% of rapists were raised in fatherless homes, and a fatherless child is 20 times more likely to be incarcerated. Now, school. Fatherless children are 9 times more likely to drop out of school and less likely to attain academic and professional qualifications. So there are some serious afflictions for fatherless children, but God cares for the fatherless, and he has made provision for the fatherless children. He himself is their provision. He is their father. He is a father to the fatherless. He's a father to the fatherless. So, symptoms. And one thing I found out, that America is not the only country where fatherlessness is a huge issue. Latin America has a very large population of fatherless children, along with Australia. And there are some countries in Europe, like Sweden, that have a large population of fatherless children. Now, Nigeria has one of the lowest populations of fatherless children. That's very interesting, Nigeria. Anyway, reconciliation is available and redemption is available. Psalm 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Another translation says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Praise God. I'm almost done. I'm so glad the Lord led me to meet my father, because it is a, you know, it's an interesting story. But it's a story of redemption. It's a story of redemption. I had him for 15 years. God is so good. He's so good. At the right time, he said, go find him. Okay. Maybe better, Lord. And I found him. But because I went, there was that window of opportunity for me to go and obey. There was that window of opportunity for me to go. And I went. I was obedient. And we drove to Springfield, Illinois, at least once or twice a year, trying to build a relationship. It was a crazy time for me, more than normal, because I felt a lot of emotions. I felt really, really mad, angry, hurt. And so I had to call on the Lord a lot to keep myself stable. But I say it's a story of redemption because even in the end, he died the Saturday before Easter, 2016. And A couple of weeks before he died, my mother just happened to be meeting us in Springfield. He had dementia, and he was in a nursing home. And he told my sister, he didn't tell me, that he wanted to see my mother. Now, they hadn't seen each other in about 48 years, I guess. I don't know. So we arranged for them to meet. He was in a wheelchair, he couldn't walk. And that morning, they got him dressed, he got his wheelchair. He couldn't wait for somebody to push him. He did his legs and he came around the corner and just kind of hopped right up to my mother. And they were reconciled. They, hallelujah. I never in a million years would have thought that God could do something like that. Because my mama was something, but still is now. Shoot, I'm her baby. What you talking about? Oh, man, I would do some stuff. Why you talk? You love him more than you love me. Come on, mom. Come on, now. I'm trying to be holding my. Come on, give me a break. Help me out. Help my sister out. No, you do what he wants you to do. I mean, it was just so much. But all in all, I won. Hallelujah. I won. I have the victory. I still have the victory. I hold on to the victory. Yes, I grieved not having my dad as a little girl. And you know, not very often, but a few years ago, my daughter was in the truck with my husband. They were backing away, and I had like some kind of moment. I was like, who's this man with my daughter? I'm serious. And he saw my face, so he stopped and he got out. He said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. I said, yeah, go ahead. Y'all have a good time. You know, I had a choice to make. We all have a choice to make. To be an ambassador for Christ. And I had to talk to myself. Bible says, honor your mama and your daddy. Well, but does it say if he did pay child support? What does it say if he did buy you a birthday present? I mean, nothing good. Honor your mother and your father. I was like, Lord have mercy. Anyway, in conclusion, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The spirit of abandonment and rejection, or fear of abandonment, is something that we know about, but we need to verbalize to be prepared for the harvest that's coming in so we can try to understand what's really, really going on in the spirit. So I have a few things I want to share. Some strongholds for capital F fatherless children or small F fatherless children include wrestling with feelings of worthlessness and unworthiness, feeling that one is not lovable, which renders that person unable to receive love. O-M-G. Small g. We may love someone and they can't receive it. Wow. That's a stronghold. Isolation from God is another one, which causes people to reject God. Isolation from people. The feelings, the thoughts. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not cute enough. I'm not tall enough. Whatever. Sometimes people will feel that they don't deserve better. Or they'll settle for the status quo. Sometimes you see it as self-hatred. You can see suicide and suicide attempts. Premarital sex. Promiscuity. Pregnancy. Abortion. Look, what are you talking about? So for several years, I worked at the CPC, the Center for Pregnancy Choices, here in Jackson. And I was a post-abortion recovery agent, we'll put it like that. And I counseled young women, black and white, and old women, like 60 years old, black and white, who were suffering from the trauma of an abortion they had 40 years ago. People need God, they need Jesus, they need that well of water, they need the Lord. Anger, fighting, aggression. They reject God, they reject authority. And the goal of the enemy using these strongholds is to eradicate God's purpose for that person's life. to falsify their identity in Christ, to steal their identity, and ultimately to kill, steal, and destroy them. Hallelujah, but Jesus has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just wanted to share overcoming some family challenges related to fatherlessness. I bless you, I praise you, and I'm glad that the Lord is preparing us for the fatherless that are coming here to see the Father. They're coming. We will be prepared. We will be ready. I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.